Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. Today we're going to talk about the archer fish. And our scripture is Judges 20:16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss, Judges 20:16. In Malaysia is a fish that shoots its prey right out of the air above the water where it lives. The archer fish, which has long groove in the roof of its mouth, serving as a blowpipe for knocking insects from the air, can eject water either in a continuous stream or a succession of droplets, or it can deliver one drop at a time. Amazingly, it can shoot from underwater at a victim that is in the air and hit it exactly. You can get some idea of the difficulty of doing this by placing a pencil at an angle in a glass of water, and you will notice that it appears to bend in the water. This is because the light rays are reflected at a different angle in the water than they are in the air. You are actually seeing the pencil where it isn't. The same is true when you are in the water looking at something in the air. Yet the archer fish is almost always right on target when its prey is within 4 feet. In a New York laboratory, several of these fish were observed hitting small cockroaches that were 5 feet above the water. The water drops that missed their mark were seen hitting the ceiling, which was 12 feet above the water. Sometimes the archer fish shoots at things that aren't food. They like to shoot at the blinking eyes of a bystander. And one archer fish in Thailand extinguished a man's cigarette twice. Apparently, the fish likes to shoot at shiny things even when it isn't hungry. The Bible tells of men so skillful with slingshots that, figuratively speaking, they could hit a hair. But the fish we've been describing are equipped from birth with their skills. This speaks of a fantastic designer who created all kinds of life on earth with built-in abilities to survive in all kinds of situations. And I believe that God has many gifts built into us. He does that so we all can work together for the glory of Him and for the proclamation of the gospel, the good news. So as you go about today, just think of the archer fish and think about what ability God has given you. That's the ability. That's the gift. And parents, we need to recognize that in our children too. They're not going to be like us. They have unique abilities that God has given them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedoms to speak about you. We know that time is short. We pray for those families that are homeschooling. We pray for families that are having to send their children to traditional school. Fortify the family, Lord. Fortify it. And we pray for our nation. We thank you for the liberties that we currently have. We pray for those countries that do not have liberty. We pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, we talked about archer fish in our devotionals, so of course in our arts and crafts, which I like to scientifically call it my experiential learning section, I've put an archer fish video there. It was interesting. When I reviewed the video, then at the very end it talked about a worm that spits out glue. So I guess that's a little bonus for you. I've also put a cute moving fish and the way you make it move or reticulate, and of course use academic language with your children. The way you make it reticulate is that you cut some of it. And so you have these little spaces then between the pieces of cut paper. It's called a moving fish, and you need some construction paper and scissors and glue, and that's all you need. And I just hope you have fun learning about archer fish today. Curriculum Corner. Well, I wanted to talk this week about the thematic units that are for free on the Nassau website. And you can go to www.nasa.gov and you can learn all about it. Now, the problem with some of these, of course, are that they are evolution based, but a lot of them have so much good information that you can pick and choose what you want to do. I'm going to talk today about the Destination Mars unit. And so when you go there, it has a vocabulary, and I love that we're working with kids with academic vocabulary. Words like mass, trajectory, ratio, planet, distances, design, process, game, problem solving. And this type of vocabulary, we like to encourage speaking to children on academic terms, not watering the words down. And you'll find that your kids will begin to use these words because younger children especially are just wired for vocabulary acquisition. How do you like that? So let's look at this one called Destination Mars Unit. And the neat thing behind it is that, you know, you have all of NASA's science. So the activities are based on the planet Mars and the factors that affect space travel to Mars. So you can go to that unit, Destination Mars Unit, and see if that fits into something that you would like. They have thousands of units, but right now I'm just looking at the ones they've recently developed for summer. So if you want to, maybe you have a heart for the kids in your neighborhood and you want to do something, this is a great resource. Questions parents ask. This is from Marissa. She's saying, I didn't grow up in a house of faith, so I'm asking, what is the one thing your parents helped you with so that you had a relationship with God on your own? Well, first of all, my parents walked the talk. So when they talked about God, they tried to act like God. Were they perfect? No. My mother came from a very abusive family. And so as the oldest, I suffered under some of that abuse too. But as she matured in the Lord, I saw her, you know, apologize to me, heartfelt apology. And of course I forgave her. She's my mother. I also was encouraged to focus on things that were pure and true. So there was no television in the home. There were no video games back then to distract you. And there was a time every evening where we had family worship. And my dad did a lot of exhortation, I guess I would call it, during that. He saw my love for reading, and I read everything I could find in that environment. And the neighbors had a big library, and they were Christian. And so I went over there and got books from them, and he picked up one. I think it was called Exodus. Sounds innocent enough, doesn't it? Big, thick book, and it was about then the modern day Exodus, and it had some pretty graphic things in there. And he just pleaded with me in one of the worships, can you see your way to make sure that what you read from now on is true and good, of a good report? So those are the kinds of things that parents can do now. They can be a great example of the love of Jesus Christ, and they can exhort using the scriptures, but not banging people over the head. You know, I was 15 when he approached me about that, and it convicted me that I should be very careful about what I read and what I feasted my mind on. And we also used the words fear food and faith food. Faith food were Bible stories and good stories, and fear food were horror kind of things, and we tried to avoid that. So as you're looking for a way, make sure you're right with the Lord. Make sure your walk is what you want for your children. And that is how, my friend, you help your children have a relationship with God on their own. That's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Grace Fox, and I'm so happy to see you. We are here at CPE, which stands for Christian Product Expo, and we are talking to authors and artists and ministry providers, and some do all of the above. Grace Fox is a career global worker and international speaker at women's events. Her passion is to connect the dots between faith and real life by helping others learn love, understand, and apply God's Word. She has written 9 books and is a member of the First 5 writing team for Proverbs 31 Ministries. She and her husband, Gene, live on a sailboat in British Columbia. And, you know, when I read that, I just thought, oh, that sounds so cool. But it's not always so cool. But we're going to hear more about that in the show. So we're talking about keeping hope alive. And with everything that's happening in the nation, how appropriate it is to focus on keeping hope alive.
I think so too, Rose. It's a matter of so many people going through so many things in the past couple of years that it feels to me like hope is in short supply.
Yes.
We can all use that extra dose of encouragement, I think.
Someone asked me the other day, do you really believe in Noah and the ark and all of that? And I said, well, Jesus himself said, as it was in the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus believed in Noah. And they go, well, there's always been catastrophes. And I said, yes, but there's a lot more now. And it's more global. Of course, we know about it with technology and everything, which then adds to our own level of stress.
It sure does. And besides that, we've got our own stuff happening in our personal lives. So whether it be, for instance, my mom passed away during the 2020 chaos, right? So not only was there all the stuff going on about the virus itself, but for myself, it was dealing with an aging mother who all of a sudden needed to sell her house and purge that. But then she passed away. So it was dealing with a lot of pain, right? And so many other people are dealing with personal circumstances too, beyond what's happening globally and nationally.
Now you say, and I agree with you 100%, if you haven't had a storm yet, you will have a storm.
Yeah.
But I see young people really in a storm. You know, their parents are splitting up. Their friends are using drugs. What would you say to that family to help support their children?
Man, I just would say to that family, like, one word comes into my head, and that would be splintered, and how easy it is for families and individuals to just splinter, to come apart, you know, in a time of pain. But if we can come around realizing as adults that these kids are hurting, and we may be dealing with our own painful issues, but to come around the children and to realize that they need all the help and support they can get at this time, no matter what their age is. So come together and focus on helping these young ones rather than come apart because
yes.
of the things that we're dealing with.
You know,
too.
If you have hope, you can weather a lot. That hope is such a good word, keeping hope alive. I see kids really depressed, and keeping hope alive is something that grandparents can do, church families can do, but indeed we usually get so buried in our own pain that we don't look out.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we refocus?
You know what, I just always think about the importance of focusing, keeping our eyes on God's promises. Let me give you an example of what happens when we don't versus what happens when we do.
Yes.
And this will be a sailboat story here, okay? So I grew up on the plains, the prairies of southern Alberta. I am a landlubber girl, but I married a man from Washington who grew up on the coast, and he drove a boat when he was 6 years old. So he grew up with boats. Later, we worked on staff at a year-round Christian camp for families and children for 11 years. My husband was the program director there and developed a sailing program. So that's his heart, his passion. And mine is not quite that. So here we are living on a sailboat, and how we got there's a whole other story. But when we go out on the water, and if we get into a time where the wind is blowing, the waves are, you know, just rolling bigger than I feel comfortable with, my tendency would be to look at the waves, and I see the spray coming over the side of the boat, and I just want to hang on and scream for dear life. But my husband is the one at the helm, and he actually trained as an engineer as well. So besides loving boating and being very familiar with the water where we live and the tides and the weather, he reads all that so well. He also trained as an engineer, and so he understands how a keel works, the weight of a keel and the role of a keel. And so he knows how far that boat can go and over. All I see is that boat's going over, and he knows the boat's going over, but it's going to come back. And he never does anything dangerous. He's very cautious, but I have to keep my eyes trained on his face. So he's the one at the helm. And if he's not scared and he's not looking nervous or anxious, then why should I? And that's what I would encourage families to, you know, keep our eyes on the promises of God and on our walk with him, and filling our minds and our homes with praise and worship music, and praying together as a family and praising God together as a family. That makes a big difference too. I found that if I just prayed all the time, I just got more nervous over the thing that my concern was, because that's where my focus was.
Mm-hmm.
But to focus on praise and on promises, that would be me keeping my eyes on my husband's face when he's at the helm in a storm. Mm-hmm. And the peace comes.
Yes. I think of the analogy, you know, Jesus is in my boat.
Yes.
Because when we are in the storms, if we stay focused on Jesus, we can weather that storm with so much more grace. And it's even healthier for us, because stress is physically debilitating.
It is. It affects our bodies in so many ways. Lack of sleep. You know, I remember when my kids were young and at home, and if I had a lack of sleep, and I did back then, my husband traveled, you know, as an engineer, his business sent him to Hawaii often, and I was left at home with three kids under 4 years old. But one time we were robbed, and I remember not, it wasn't a case where we walked into the house and everything was all messed up and we found out we were robbed. It was a case of my going to look for our camera one day and realizing it's not in its usual place. Where could I have put it? Maybe I left it at the park when we were there for our daughter's first birthday, and sort of retracing my steps and then realizing it's just gone. And then I went to look for a necklace one day in my little drawer, and it was gone. And then I started, what about my silver charm bracelet that I'd collected charms for from the time I was in junior high? It's gone. And that's how I realized we'd been robbed. And that bred fear into me, so that when my husband was away on business trips, all I did, I would lay awake at night, I turned the light on at the bedside table light, and I would sleep with that, because I thought, if the robber comes back and I'm here alone with my children, the least I can do is try to catch a glimpse of his face so I can identify him in a lineup, you know. And that's where my mind would take me, but I couldn't sleep. And what happened then in the morning? I'd get up and I'd deal with three little kids, and yes, I would be a very grouchy mom because I hadn't slept. And, you know, that here's how I was freed from that was one night in desperation saying, I can't go on like this. God, I need your peace. So I flipped the Bible open, and I don't recommend that. Usually just flip it open and read it like a fortune cookie. But it worked for me that night. I came to a psalm that said something to the effect of, if we stay awake, we can stay awake all night in vain if the watchkeeper's not there. And I remember that's certainly not a quote, but I remember laying there and thinking, okay, God, I'm done. I'm just done with this fear. I need to ask you to just post your angels at every corner of this house and at the front door and the back door. And I'm going to sleep. You're on. I'm going to bed. And I turned off the light, fell asleep, and it has never bothered me since.
But that's one of my favorite psalms too. I think it's 127, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches, yes, but in vain, except the Lord, and you can paraphrase it, except the Lord keep my heart, except the Lord keep my home, except the Lord, you can use it over and over again. And, you know, you're talking about going, being robbed and not know you're being robbed. That is probably happens figuratively more than we realize. Technology is robbing from our children. Technology is robbing our time from them. We'll turn around and go, oh, they're grown. Where did the time go? And so our families, our parents, grandparents, anybody who has an impact on another human being, which we all do, needs to recognize that the thief comes in the night and we might not even recognize it. Mm-hmm. So that's another good analogy. We are talking with Grace Fox. You can go to her website, www.gracefox.com. And we've been talking about her book, Keeping Hope Alive. It's a devotional for strength in the storm, as we all realize and have felt it in one way or another. We are in the storm. We are in the storm of our lives, and Jesus is coming soon. And this book will help you more than anything. Just take a little bit of time each day, and you have it kind of laid out with a verse, pause, ponder, and pray.
Right. There's the key verse for the day and then the little story. Sometimes it's an anecdote from my own life. I've involved other women's stories as well, but stories from scripture too. And then a little action step to learn how to apply the truth that's being taught for that day, a sentence prayer. But it always ends with a quote from a well-known author, perhaps, or person in ministry who's gone through a storm,
yes,
and they've learned how to weather it. So it's a word of wisdom from their life.
Well, thank you for being with us. We're going to talk again to you tomorrow for part two of our interview, Keeping Hope Alive, and we'll get some advice as far as homeschooling. So I hope you come back tomorrow for our part two. Thanks again for listening to the show. I also know that we really want to support our friends that are homeschooling. And if you have a question or a suggestion, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Some of you are. We'll soon have you on the show. Go to myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. That's a direct link to me. And just, you can give me your question if you want to air it on, or if you just want to have a private consultation. I'm here. We really do want to be your homeschool companion. Well, with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.